Here we go.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Good, that's the best one yet.
I am short.
Pizza, pizza.
Big-O! Showtime!
I like sweet meat. It's a juxtaposition in my mouth. I like heat.
Close, and then you come in, she starts wagging her tail and starts licking her hand.
It's about fucking time someone else is.
You were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing tech show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. There ain't no funny duddies that a link it bad. For the stream, then go direct to DLNGS.org. And I see challenges at LinuxLink.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the castle's just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 1071 of the LinuxLink Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Joe.
Yep, I'm here.
We have Dave.
Me too.
Yeah, Dave's back. Joel's not here. Good that you have power back. You know what I didn't report last week is that I did pick up a wireless charger for my Moto here, and it works just fine. It doesn't do rapid charging, which I wouldn't expect that it did. It says it has the capability of doing it, but I have it on my night table next to me, and when I go to bed, I put it on there, and it's good. I could see it being advantageous to have the magnetic support on the wireless charger, because I do find it a little temperamental trying to position the phone properly on the wireless charger. I mean, it's not hard, but it seems like I have to move it around on a regular basis to actually hit that sweet spot where it's going to charge. For some reason, I can't remember it. I don't know why. It doesn't seem where it is intuitive to me to click it on there. And I also have to be careful because the cat likes to walk across there and can bump it off. But so far, it's been working great.
I've had that exact same experience in the last 48 hours.
The cat?
No, everything you said except the cat. I mean, the wireless charger, everything. My daughter had one that she wasn't using. I just tried it like day before yesterday for the first time. And it did rapid charging. And I've got a Pixel 7. And, you know, this is some Apple aftermarket thing. It's not even Apple, but she got it for one of her devices. And it worked. And it was a little temperamental, but it did rapid charging, which surprised me.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, but where you put it, you know, was a little, took a couple of tries. But
yeah. And, well, you know, if you just leave it on there, it's fine.
Yeah.
Now, when I go to first, so the one I bought was the one that that we were kind of, I think, Joe, did you point it out? Because if you do a search on Amazon for a wireless charging device, which is the one that came? It just came the other day too. Well, probably came back further than I think it is. Too many people are ordering too much shit off of Amazon in my family. The only thing you should be ordering is outdoor showers, right, Dave?
Soap on a rope.
So it was the 30 watt wireless charger pad. I think that I had initially looked at, and the Hongi. I don't know if it was Joel who had also pointed that one out, but when you go to put it on the pad, it will do like the phone will vibrate, but the charger will also like has a blue LED in it that pulses, and that'll stay pulsing for like a few to 20 seconds, I think, or something like that. But then it'll stop that while it's just charging. And I've noticed that if I take the phone off and then I put it back on, sometimes initiate the charging again because the phone will buzz, but the blue LED thing won't go off. So I don't know if there's some kind of thing that, like, it has a timeout on it that if you take the phone off and put it back on, that it has a period where it's not going to flash because it doesn't want to keep continuously. Like, if I could see people would be annoyed if that blue light stayed on all night long while it was flashing. I mean, while you were trying to sleep and it was charging. But that's one thing I noticed about it. Other than that, we're fine. And I've never noticed the phone getting hot, which is interesting. Because, Joe, I think you had said in some cases or whatever that it'll cause the phone to get pretty warm or hot.
Well, I said if you were using the MagSafe case.
Oh, the MagSafe
case. On a non-MagSafe charger, that metal ring would cause things to heat up.
Oh, I misunderstood. Okay, because mine, I don't have the MagSafe case and all that stuff and whatever. But, yeah, it hasn't caused any heating up, which now is to be expected. But, you know, for, what was it, $13.99 or whatever it was, it's very convenient. I kind of like the fact that I don't have to dick around with the USB port, because having lived 2, 3, almost 4 years with the Pixel 4a's charging port being a nightmare, and like right at the end it was just this constant ritual of the I had to put something underneath the cord but 3 inches, at least 3 inches, but not too far back from the USB part, so that it was elevated just slightly as I pushed my phone against the wall and angled the cord in there and held it there for a second in hopes that it would just not push back a little bit to stop the charging on a daily basis, multiple times a day. It was terrible. It was terrible. And now I don't have to worry about it, and I'm not worried about wearing out my USB port by doing that back and forth in there. So, good stuff.
I had a similar experience to that, too. When my power was out, I was the first 2 days of the 6 days I was out of power, I was using Ryobi batteries, you know, I had a device that you could plug USB hub into, and you could charge multiple devices off a Ryobi battery. And one day, you know, or one of the two nights, my phone didn't charge. I got the next morning, it was like 27%, and the same cord I've always plugged in my phone was just a little flaky or something. So I thought of that same thing, you know, back when I had that problem with this, you had with the Pixel 4a, when I had it with the Pixel 5. But I guess that's why in the back of my mind I was wanting to try that wireless charger. But I said all that to say this. I was able to get a generator on the third day, on the end of the second day. So day 2 through 6, I had a generator, and I'd already thrown everything out of my refrigerator and freezer at that point. But I was able to run the internet and the TV. So that was good.
Good. You know what? Now you bring this up. Did you find, like, one of the other problems I had with my Pixel 4a was that I could only get it to reliably charge with the one USB cord that I had, and it wasn't the one that it came with. Like, if I tried to use another USB cord, it was even more problematic to get charging than the one that I usually used with it.
I think some USB cords, you know, a newer USB cord might have fit better. You know, the other one, the soft metal, you know, on the mail end you stick in the phone, it's gotten worn or something. I don't know. I noticed that with the 5, that some cords work better than the others. But I've only had that one issue that one time so far with the 7. So I don't think it's a.
Yeah, because I would try, whenever I got a new USB-C cord, usually I would try it on that Pixel 4a, and it would be like, I put it in, and I'm like, it's not, like, it's even harder to get working than the one I'm currently using.
Yeah.
And even the one I am currently using, I had bought two of those. Well, they came in like a multi-pack with different sizes, but I had two of the same size. I even tried the other one, and it was problematic. It's like, for some reason, the Pixel was wedded to that one USB cord and will not accept anything else. It was only one input, Dave.
Yeah.
Not like you, where you take anything, right? Your phone take any input. This phone, I guess, would take any input. Ay, ay, ay.
But do any of you guys have generators?
No.
Nope.
I petitioned the wife 4 or 5 years ago, you know, that this told her we should look into a whole home generator. And she didn't see the use in it. So it just sort of, conversation sort of died. But I think she sees the use in them now.
Now, did you just buy a generator?
No.
Stole one?
No. My son-in-law gave me a generator last year. That I never could get to work. And he said it may not work. It broke. He had torture tested it. And he said, sometimes you can get these things to work. Sometimes you can't. I couldn't. I did everything I knew to do. Had him look at it. We couldn't get it to work. But I was without power for 6 days. He was only without power two. So on Sunday, he was done with his generator. So I took it home with me. And
So you borrowed it. You didn't get
it. I borrowed it. Yeah. But he's told me that he's going to take my broken generator back to work with him. They've got a whole department now that does nothing but repair them. So I hope to get a working generator out of this, you know, without having to buy one. But I still like to have whole home because I'm all electric, and the biggest pain about a portable generator is you got to get out and find gas when everybody else is trying to find gas. So I could get natural gas run up my street and have a natural gas generator that just, when the power goes off 30 seconds, you know, a whole home generator is going to cost $12,000 or $13,000. But
can you install one of those yourself, or do you have to have a certified professional install that if it's hooking into the
I put in a fuse box before in a mobile home, and I've replaced the one in this house, but I'm done with that. I'd rather somebody
I'm pretty sure that it's a requirement that if you're going to hook something up that could potentially feed power back to the grid, you have to have it signed off by an actual electrician.
Or hook something up that could potentially blow your neighborhood up, I guess.
Right?
No, but I would say, you know, I'm not going to do it myself. You know, once upon a time, years ago, I did it. But
so you're talking about future hurricane plans?
What? Winter storm or anything, because down here we get ice, and, you know, instead of snow, and all it takes is a quarter inch of ice and trees start falling on power lines. And Duke Power does not do a good job in my county of keeping the trees trimmed back. You know, the street, we were trapped for 2 days because we couldn't even leave our house because there were trees. We go down our street and we got a stop sign. And on either side of that stop sign, no matter which way you went, there were trees in the road. So we couldn't go anywhere. But they got all that cleaned up and we got our power back on 6 days later. But there's still trees that are like
one good. Couldn't you hook the hound dogs up to it and have them cart the tree away?
Hey, Joel, I have a question for you. What'd you have
an answer.
Oh, yeah.
Beef stew.
Make yourself.
Dinty Moore?
I did.
Oh, good.
Didn't come out of a can. Homemade. Nope. I have this beef stew that I do in a crock pot. It's so easy.
So you put it on last night or this morning?
This morning.
Okay.
Carrots? This morning. I put it on carrots, potatoes, onions. Carrots are good, man. Delicious.
Yeah, did you have a church thing this evening?
I did. Yep.
Okay, we were all wrong.
Yep.
Do you ever go to Chick-fil-A?
I ran a 5K Sunday. Do I? Yeah.
When was the last time you were at Chick-fil-A?
Of course. Got to get me the Jesus. It's been a while, actually.
Because I've never heard you go say you ever you've ever gone to Chick-fil-A, and Dave said Chick-fil-A.
No, I didn't. I said Taco Bell. Joe said Chick-fil-A.
Oh, Joe said Chick-fil-A. Oh, yeah.
I mentioned Chick-fil-A after McDonald's.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm overdue, to be honest. But actually, last week we had Popeyes at least once.
Did they have everything you wanted at Popeyes?
I did. Their chicken sandwiches are pretty good. They're good substitute.
They are good chicken sandwich. I remember we were in Asheville. This was years ago. And the Popeyes chicken sandwiches had just come out, and they all this hype about them. And they had a regular and a spicy. And I guess I was excited. I ordered one of each. And it was all I could do to finish two of them. I could easily eat two Chick-fil-A chicken sandwiches. But it's all I could do to eat two of the Popeyes. They were huge.
But see, it's funny. When I go to Taco Bell, I don't order the same stuff I used to order, like the grilled stuffed burrito, which is delicious.
They don't have any more, the bastards.
I know. But even if I did have them, I probably wouldn't get them. I've been getting the chicken cantina bowl.
No, you got to get the grilled stuffed burrito beef. And the chicken quesadilla, like the big one.
Actually, if you haven't tried the big cheese at tostada, you should. It's delicious. It's delicious. It's not too high in calories. It's like 220 calories, which is
pretty low.
Awful. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's essentially just a big ass cheese it with a taco meat, cheese, lettuce, tomatoes, sour cream. Nothing bad about that at all.
And nacho fries. You got to have nacho fries.
Well, I don't. I my son gets those. I don't. But I mean, I can. I have. They're good. You know, but I only get those if I don't know.
That's when I feel like it.
Yeah, I get the. But the if you like Cheez-Its, you can actually just get the Cheez-It. Instead of the products that they have with the cheese in it, you can just get the big cracker if you want. It's like a, which is I have. I did that because I wanted to try it by itself to see if it tasted just like a big Cheez-It, and it does.
How much did that cost you?
I think it was like a buck. You know,
probably going to a restaurant called La Madeline tomorrow night.
Sounds fancy.
A special event.
There's a meetup for the LGBTQ community around here, and there's a lot of crossover with the local Dems.
What kind of restaurant is it?
It's a French restaurant.
I was going to say, oh, you said, yeah, it sounded like a French restaurant. Ooh, that sounds nice. You're lucky.
I'm probably going to get the quiche.
Do they do like a weekly or a daily like quiche kind of thing?
No, it's the same quiche every time.
Oh, okay. You know, speaking of that,
now.
It was my wife and I's anniversary on Friday, and that's also was the Panera trip was our anniversary dinner.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah, no, there's a lot wrong with that.
But we'll Applebee's isn't okay, but Panera is.
No, Dave, it's not okay. We only went there because of the fundraiser.
We had a gift card.
Well, I had to go because of the fundraiser. But we want to take a trip somewhere, but we can't until we get our car back. So we're kind of delayed celebrating our anniversary.
Two questions. Which anniversary was it, and where's your car?
It's our 27th anniversary.
Okay.
And my Paige has our Kia because her – I told that story, didn't I?
With yes. You can drive a shit.
Well, yeah, and hers is still in the shop up in Richmond, and she's going back and forth with them as to whether they will cover it under a warranty or under the recall that it has. So, It's
well, and she had. Is she still doing the vape shop too?
She manages the one.
Okay.
It's her. You know what? I have no. I don't know where.
I know they were having. I see. I know they're having problems with their van too. That.
Oh yeah, that. So you know the thing is, they buy these vehicles like the owner, right? The owner buys these vehicles off of salvage, and so he gets them at like a really good price. But then you know there's all these problems that crop up. You know, there's the problems with the incompatible hardware and software mixture in that van. And then with Paige's vehicle, it's like trying to get it insured and registered. And now this whole warranty issue thing and the recall, it's just a complete freaking nightmare because it's a salvage vehicle. You know, so even though it's like it's weird because it's like a 2019 model and it has less than 30,000 miles on it. So it's just weird. I don't know. Anyway, sorry Joel, I didn't mean to cut you off there.
Oh no.
Talking about Dave's suppositories and stuff.
Suppository.
You hook a generator up to that?
You see, that's why you need an electric car, because the electric car could help power your house. Can. But hopefully Rich is okay this week, because I know he's down in Jupiter, so...
He said he was... He told me he was expecting 40-mile-an-hour wind, and he said he thinks he's going to be fine. And that's the last
well,
I heard from him.
He's on the good side of the state, too. Yeah, he's on the good side of the state though. So Tracy is as well. He's like 30 or 40 minutes from Disney. So
I thought he was in Texas. Or something.
But
he's out. Tracy should
be
pretty near the path of this thing. If he's no,
he's in Florida.
To Disney.
Yeah, he's in Florida. No, he moved to Florida years ago.
Oh, I know.
In fact, he drove truck for a while, but now he's like a driver liaison kind of position and works from home all the time, which is good for him because he hardly was spending any time at home with Joni, his wife.
Yeah, he was doing OTR. I mean, he was gone.
Yep, he was all over the country.
But if he's 30 or 40 miles from Disney, he's sort of like in the path of this thing, isn't he?
30 or 40 minutes from Disney, so he's probably a lot closer than that.
Yeah, so yeah, he's right there in it. But did he get out?
No, they were staying home.
Wow.
Yeah, he
didn't they tell everybody they had to evacuate?
In Tampa, yes, in Tampa, which it actually hit south of there, like near Sarasota, I think. And my coworker who got hit by Helene on the Florida part of Helene is getting hit by this now.
Have you ever been to Tampa?
I have not been to Tampa. I have been to Orlando.
It's a place you would not want a hurricane to hit. That bay is huge.
No. Yeah. I might. It depends. See, part of the problem is our company does a conference, and it moves all around the country. This coming year, it's in Orlando. And part of the problem is that in the department I'm in now, I deal a lot with cloud, both managed cloud as well as SaaS team. And a lot of what we work with, they consider proprietary information, so I can't do presentations on it at our conference, ELive. But depending on if the systems and tools team
wants to send someone or not, I might get a chance to go to the conference with my boss. She asked me about it, and I'm like, yeah, absolutely, I'd do that. I've been to it before, back when it was, it used to be called Doug because of the Datatel user group, but you know, of course, now we're Elution, so it's called eLive now. So last year it was in San Antonio during the eclipse, which is kind of cool. I didn't get to go to that. I was going to do a presentation on how we assure our clients. We use Datadog, you know, it's not a secret, you know, but they were afraid that that they get cloud clients saying, oh, hey, can we get access to the Datadog pages? And we don't have licenses to give it, you know, it's only for us. So they said we couldn't do it. So, but you know, so we'll see. The only way, they'll only send so many people. Plus, you have to, if you want to go and you're not like one of the designated people to get to go to help staff the support area, you would be have to present. So since I can't always present, it's very hard for me to pick a subject that I can present, so that they would be okay with. But anyway, so now tomorrow night I get to go sleep in a weird place. I get my
sleep study. Dan could probably give you some pointers on that.
I know he can.
You some pointers on what?
Sleeping in weird places.
Yeah.
I have to go for my sleep study tomorrow night, so which means I get strapped. They put EEG on me and the sensors on my nose and stuff, because they're supposed to do part of the study with the mask, part of the study without the mask. Probably the part without the mask first, because they want to validate that my centrals are in line with what needs to happen. Plus, it really helps actually that if the insurance company has any pushback on paying for this, I can say, well, the other study I had done this year, I was 290. Now I'm 261, which means I've lost 119 pounds ish. I have been vacillating between 61 and 62. So. But on call weeks, it's a pain in the butt to get all the workouts in I would like to get in. Like today, I meant to actually go do weights as well as some treadmill, and I didn't wake up till an hour and 15 minutes after my alarm. I hit the snooze button way too many times, so I ended up just walking out in the neighborhood and did that like three times. Still got my steps in, so. Got to get it done. I'm on a streak right now. Friday, if I get all my steps in Friday, I'll have done 21 days in a row meeting my goal, which is 10,000 a day. So, and then seems like Sundays has been my day for doing my my 5K workout in prep for the Hot Chocolate 5K next month. Yeah, next month. God.
Our 5K got postponed. It was supposed to be this past Saturday, but they moved.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah.
Makes sense. But that also makes me wonder, too. Like, I think the Tampa version of the Mammoth March is supposed to be, like, next week. So, but I'm hoping that they open up registration for the Cuyahoga Valley National Park version of the Mammoth March. That's the one we're going to do. So it'll be next September that we do that hike. And next September, well, I conquer it. Because I've way less. I think I was like 280 something last year. So I'm at least 20 pounds lighter already. So my plans is to be even lighter than I am now. So we'll see. Although we're going into the dangerous part of the year, though, with pumpkin shows next week, there will be no dill dogs consumed by this man. As much as I want one. That will be a cheat day, though. But, and speaking of that cheat day, I had an awesome cheat day last Saturday when we went to the Coffee Fest. Joe, I tried the one the Viking brought. They're unfortunately sold out online, called Skull, S-K-L, which is, a Viking, Norse term. And it was a medium roast coffee that prior to roasting was cured in a whiskey barrel. And it was delicious. I got the last of it making cold brew downstairs. Then the other I got is a light roast from a place locally here called Coffee Connections. Had a cup of that this afternoon. And it was pretty good. But Coffee Connections also makes their own flavoring syrups. So I got pumpkin spice with actual pumpkin in it. So it's pretty good. Although I need to buy more espresso pods so I can make cappuccinos with it. But then at that though, they had food trucks and had pierogies from a stand called Fork and Pierogi. And the one I had pieces of brisket on it with a raspberry barbecue sauce. And it was good. And then at our church's Fall Fest, Bite Back, which is a food truck that was run by a church that my church planted to help fund a compassionate I'm trying to remember the full name, but it's basically a ministry that their church started, where they initially started out with addicts, but now they're talking flooding and helping people who have been sexually trafficked. All right, so helping them recover and get out of their situations. So, and he made what they sold was they had smash burgers, which I didn't get a smash burger because they had pulled pork. So I had a pulled pork sandwich with tater tots and.
For a minute there, I thought you were saying you didn't get the smash burger because it had pulled pork in it. I'm like, what kind of burger has pulled pork in it?
No, I enjoy good smash. But smash burgers are good, but when you have pulled pork, I'd rather have that. So, and then of course we had axe throwing, so I got to throw axes. That was fun. I actually got it to stick a couple times. It's harder than you think. But what's funny is the lady they have running it, it was free. The lady that they had running it, she literally could just, she would not even look at the target. She'd throw it and stick it every single time. And I'm like, that's because you've had a lot of practice. Dave, I think
throwing knives and throwing anything is not easy.
No, but I was looking at the satellite for Milton, and it looks like you got clouds for Milton over you. That's it.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I think the South Carolina coast may get some effect, but not much.
Those aren't South clouds Carolina. From Milton. Those are clouds from Dave's exploding suppository.
Yeah, this weekend I'm on call, so no hikes for me. I wish I could. It's been weeks since I've actually been on a trail. I'm dying. I want to go hiking. But I have been exercising. I've been doing my weights and stuff. Leg presses, I'm up to 225 right now.
That's great.
Yep. Well, my legs always have been strong, you know, thanks to being over 300 for a while.
I was going to say you should be able to push a lot more than 225.
Yeah. Well, it all depends on what my knee feels like that day.
Well, just because you can press more than that doesn't mean that you should press more than
exactly.
That.
Exactly. Well, I guess QT version 6.8 was released today.
I think Plasma 6.2 came out last week. I think. Thought I saw something about that.
Yep, and I think QT now supports Python now, too, I think. It may have for a while, though, so I might, you know, but we were talking about that. We're doing a Python workshop at work Friday. Don't know what we'll do with it. But
yeah, I was updating my Arch machine today, and I saw a package. I think it was Python-QT6, which I'd never seen before. It was getting installed. That may or may not have anything to do with it. I don't know.
Yep. And something else was released too. Oh, Python QT refers to the QT framework for GUI development in Python. There's two main libraries for this, PyQT and PySide.
I think they both got installed today on my Arch machine.
Likely. Well, actually, no. Ooh. Well, this has you installing it via pip. You know, pip install.
Yeah.
PyQT6, whatever.
I'm getting ready to look and see what was installed. I can scroll back.
I am using KDE right now, actually.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I was wrong. It was Python VLC, not QT.
Ah. Okay.
KDE Connect started working again.
Did it?
Did it quit working for you?
Yeah, it would just crash every time you opened it. It had stopped working for a lot of people.
Okay.
And one of the updates bricked it, and then another update came out a few days later and fixed it.
I have it running, but don't use it. So, I see it, notifications on my phone saying it's available or something along those. I'm aware that I'm running it, but I don't use it.
I do use mine.
Nice. I think next week I may order one of those rocking plates for one of my backpacks. I figure I'll try just using some packs I've got, unless it starts to destroy the pack, and then I'll order a ruck pack or a ruck plate carrier. Today, when I did the last walk I did before I went to church, since I had my laptop packed up because I'm on call and I wanted to make sure that if something happened, I could work on it from there. I had my laptop with me, so I just threw it on my back and did my walk with the backpack on. Essentially rucking. But how's your phone, Dan?
It's doing great. I am enjoying it very much.
Works.
It works, yeah. And I had mentioned before, I think you got on, that I did get that Hongyi wireless charger off of Amazon, and that works great too. So it's been a delight. I guess if I had to complain, and not really, it's not really much of a complaint, but this phone is like a quarter bigger than the Pixel 4a, and it's a little heavier, so I'm still not like used to having such a larger phone, carrying it around, holding it's not so bad, but like when I go out for a run or something, or on my
bike ride. You can't get smaller phones anymore.
Yeah, when I go on my bike ride in particular, like when I was finished with my bike ride, I would usually like I have my little Davy pack or the fanny pack, if you want to call it, that I put stuff in. I put my phone in there and a little repair kit for my bike. Usually when I got to the end of my ride, I would just pull out my phone and like stop Runkeeper and then slide it into the pocket of whatever pants I was wearing. And it would fit fine and everything. But this phone, it dangles out just enough that I'm more concerned that it would just completely fall off out of my pocket and hit the ground while I'm riding back to the garage. But that's been the only complaint. And it's not much of a complaint, albeit, but yes, I'm enjoying it very much. It's particularly the charging part is a breath of fresh air.
Now, let's see, I gotta figure out when is the 15th?
For our new phone?
The 14th this month.
No shit, Sherlock. No, it's next Tuesday, so if all goes well, I should have Android 15.
Is that when it comes out?
That's the rumored release date. That's the rumored release date.
So you get it, you get like. Wait, what are you running?
Pixel 9 Pro XL.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, that's right. So, if you're running a Pixel, you'll probably get it almost immediately.
Yeah, the 7 should get it too, I think.
Yeah, 15. The 15 is already released. You know, it's already in AOSP right now. But Google hasn't released it for the Pixels just yet. They should soon. They didn't release the 9 series with the Android 15 to begin with. Some people were kind of pissed off about it. I wasn't. I was like, I don't care. I wanted them to get it right. But along the same lines, have you guys seen the possibility that Google might be broken up?
Where was this?
The last thing I saw was they lost judgment.
Yeah, they lost the Play Store judgment. For the Play Store being a monopoly, but I don't think they're going to get broken up.
Right.
They were given X number of rules that they have to follow for the next like 3 or 4 years. They're appealing we shall see.
Well, the DOJ weighing suggestions that Google break up as a remedy for the search monopoly is a thing that was just talked about and released today. And basically, we're talking about, saying that they can't have Chrome, Android, and search all at the same time. It's crap, is what it is.
Yeah, well, there's no search monopoly. I mean, you're free to use DuckDuckGo. You're free to install search like I've done.
Yeah, but the back end of DuckDuckGo is what?
Maybe it is Google. Maybe I don't know.
It is.
Hold on. Is it? Okay, DDG. Yeah, well, then why does it suck so much? Because I don't think it's good.
Because they cut out a lot of the tracking and the advertisements. I don't know why it's not as good overall. I mean, you think that would make it better, but I don't know how Google does the rest of the placement for their stuff beyond that. Yeah. And DuckDuckGo may have changed it. I think you can even choose which backend DuckDuckGo has.
Well, that's what, like I said, Circ is definitely there's a bar of entry, but I mean, you can use a public instance, but you can set whatever backend you want with Circ. You know, multiple backends. It's a meta search engine. Yeah, I could have a backend for every one of them. But you know that's Linux in general.
Well, and then there's Yahoo. Well, and see, and that's the other thing too. The DOJ doesn't understand that things like Chrome and Android, well, technically, Google does own them. They're not the only ones that provides code to them. So I mean, that's saving grace for them, if that does indeed happen, which I don't think it will, but if it does, is that since Google, since Chrome and at least the Chromium engine of Chrome and Android itself are both open source, I don't think it's going to cause anything bad to happen to them. If it happens. But, you know, I don't think it will. I think hopefully at some point somebody tells the DOJ that they're full of crap. Well, because they are.
I don't know. This is a completely ignorant question, but I would think, and I'm probably wrong, but their search engine, wouldn't you think that's their main moneymaker?
Well, they make more off,
They probably make more off, well, maybe YouTube, but AdSense.
Well, YouTube's technically, I think YouTube is an alpha, well, they're all Alphabet.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But YouTube goes direct to Alphabet, just like Google goes direct to Alphabet. So Google, technically, even though Google did own YouTube, when Alphabet was created, Google is its own thing and YouTube's its own thing, but their parent company is Alphabet.
Yeah.
There's some things to be said about how Google, I mean, is Google still doing no evil? Well, the jury's out on that.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't.
They started doing it evil a while back, I think.
In some respects, yeah. You know. It really surprises me, though, especially since well, the DOJ is Biden's DOJ. It's Democrat, and really the only one that would benefit from a breaking up of Google would be the other side. Because Google's very on the Democrat side. And that's as far as we're going. I ain't going anywhere else.
Yeah, like I said, I plug in Cirx again. I try not to use Google. I mean, I've got a Google phone. I've got an Android Nvidia Shield box. I mean, I use Google, but the search engine itself, I try to not use it. I don't use Chrome. I don't know that it would bother me greatly if they broke up the search engine part, but.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in general, I'm for, you know, less regulation.
Always. Man, my wife is nuts. She turned on the freaking heat, man. Granted, it's been getting into the 40s here this week.
Speaking of Google, this is the first year that I'm not going to have to cut on my heat. I got the Google Nest thermostat last year, or in the spring. And my old thermostat, I'd have to physically cut on the heat every year. This one, I've got the upper and lower temperature set, and when it gets below X degrees, the heat comes on. I don't have to manually switch it.
I've been debating getting one of the Amazon ones, or I'd have to get two of them, which is why I haven't yet. So
that now that's the good thing with the Nest, and it's why I wonder like. Why most smart thermostats aren't like that, you know. I have a smart thermostat. In fact, I just turned it off the heat because I'm like my wife. I'm like, get under a cover. You know, get under a blanket, man. It's not that bad. It's in the 70s outside right now, but it will get cold tonight. But, you know, like, she's complaining because, like normally we have the thermostat set for 69 when they have the air conditioning on. And it got one morning we woke up, it was 66 in the house. I'm like, that's not that much colder, dear.
I think my heat comes on at 66 and the air comes on at 74. So mine's set pretty wide. I probably saved money with the Nest already, but I can't see it because the price of energy's gone up. So, I mean, my power bill is more expensive than it was prior to getting the Nest, but I think without it, it would be even higher. Because what I really like about it is if I go out of town, from anywhere, I can
hit eco mode. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can do stuff like that too. In fact, that's one thing I got to remember, because I have mine set to automatically turn on the security system I think I have it like something like absurdly late, like 1 a.m. or something like that, and then turn it off at 7 a.m, right? But I got to remember that when we leave town, I won't turn that off because I want to leave it on all the time.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the only thing I got to do. I just wish I could, because we use ADT, and the house came with like some of the stuff that we can use with it, like the door lock, the Skybell camera, which is on my doorbell, and the security system itself. We at least got the panel for it for nothing. But then we do pay ADT for monitoring, and it uses the panel has 4G built into it as well. Plus, it also does geofencing too. In fact, actually, what I need to do is I need to log into the web, and this is probably my biggest beef of the alarm.com setup is, there are things you can do in the app and things that you can do on the web. In the web and the app, generally you can do most things that the app can do on the web. All right. But there's certain things you can only do on the web. Like, for example, change the schedule. I have to log into a web browser in order to change the automation schedule. All right. Kind of a pain, but, you know, so, and also got to log into the web to add my new phone to the geofencing. So I have it set so that if the system is set and I get within a mile of the house, it will deactivate the security system automatically.
No, if your phone gets within a mile of the house, so all the somebody's got to do is steal your phone.
Which is going to be quite difficult. House. Be quite difficult. Because it's easy enough. For, like, if somebody did get my phone, one of the first things I would do is go into Google and erase it, because you can. And then I would go into the security system and disable it from there too. So, and I can do that from any browser. But yes, that's true. It's based on the phone. But, and you can, like, I don't have it turned on now. It's kind of a pain because I've never set it off, because usually I will open the front door with it, because I got too much crap in my garage. I can only fit one of our cars in it, even though it's borderline. If I got some more organization, like some units that can go over top, you know, in the ceiling, then I could probably park both cars in there. But what the hell is that?
I'm sorry, a video started playing.
Oops.
Or an ad or whatever it was started playing.
Yeah. Anywho, yeah, if I got some storage in my garage in the ceiling, I probably could. But right now, it's got like I got my Christmas tree out in the garage, and I got a couple shelving with all my camping gear on it. And there's just too much crap in there for me to park both cars in the garage. And, of course, I don't have a basement, so I'd have no other place to put that stuff. Because that's the way to design this house.
Unrelated, but going back to the me being without power, I almost called in the show last week, but then I realized my generator was set outside this window. You wouldn't have been able to, you know, you would have heard that the entire time. So I didn't, but I thought it would have been cool to have a gas-powered mumble
channel. Did you? Now, you said you have a generator. Is that like a portable one?
Yeah, it's portable. It's okay. Outside with the extension cords running through the window.
Did you buy it before or after Helene?
No. What you missed, because you came in late, is I had one that was free, but it didn't work. It never worked. But my son-in-law, who gave me the free one, he works for Ryobi, he lent me his when their power came back on. He was only without power 2 days. So 2 days into the 6 days, I had a generator, which was awesome. But the other awesome thing is my fiber internet, because it's underground. Once I plugged it into the extension cord, you know,
you were connected.
I had internet, which made me feel human again. Sitting in the dark for 2 days or 5 days or, you know, any amount of time, you know, with just, you know, Ryobi batteries charging the essentials, and you know, flashlights everywhere. It's, you get bored quick.
Now, you know, Clint from LGR, right?
LGR? What's LGR?
Lazy Game Reviews.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Did you see what happened in his house?
No.
Oh. Well, he lives in Nashville, so
I can probably imagine.
An idea. Yeah, he had a big old, couple of big old trees land on half of his house and went through the first floor.
I got an aunt that lives, she's 91, and she lives in North Augusta, which is, you know, far away from Asheville.
Georgia.
Yeah, well, North Augusta's in South Carolina. It's right across the Savannah River from Augusta. But she, you know, she doesn't live far from the Masters golf course. She lives in North Augusta, though. But a big oak tree fell right through the middle of her house. My brother, he lost 100 trees. He's got a big property with lots of trees, and he lost, I want to say, he had 100. I forgot what kind of trees they were. They weren't magnolias, but he lost half of those. He probably lost 75 trees, but none of them hit his house. And my sister lives in East Tennessee, and it got real bad, you know, not far from her house, but where she lived was okay. They did have a boil water. She works for Eastman Chemical, and they had a boil water advisory at her work, so she just worked from home. But where she lived in Johnson City was fine, but within 10 minutes of her, it was bad, flooding just like they had in North Carolina, but. It was bad here. I mean, not Asheville bad, not Chimney Rock bad, but it was bad enough here. We had, you know, where I live is just about impossible to flood. But if you go, you know, within a mile of my house, there's a street that got washed out. You know, it's closed for 6 months. You know, there's a lot of damage everywhere. But
he posted a video on his YouTube channel. One video since after Helene. And he shows the picture what happened to his house.
Yeah.
And he also had that started as a fundraiser. And so far he's raised over $1,000, which
every little bit helps.
Every little bit helps, but that's
that's a drop in the bucket. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, we got lucky. I mean, I've got some acreage and I've got big trees, but none of them fell in my, I'm making air quotes, yard. They fell in the woods on my property. Like 2 days after the storm, I was outside Sunday, and the sun was shining, and I heard a big oak tree fall the other side of my fence. If it had fallen, you know, another direction, it took out my fence and probably clipped the house. But I got real lucky. I mean, I mowed grass one day this week, Wednesday. And that had nothing to pick up, really. I mean, my yard was clean. But my mother-in-law, who lives a mile from me, I spent 6 hours cleaning up her yard, you know, just with the limbs that were down. But she got lucky, too. No trees fell in her yard, but in the woods between my house and her house, there's trees down everywhere.
I thought you were going to say you didn't have any grass to cut.
Hers
took 6 hours.
Yeah, there's a link to the pictures he shared on Twitter of his house, man, and it's pretty beat.
What'd you do with all the branches and shit that you picked up out of your mother's yard?
I drug them in the woods between my house and her house. She'll be 96, but she has, in January, she's cleared probably an acre of woods with just a rake and a saw. I mean, she's crazy strong for somebody her age. And but she's got sections in the woods where she's drug brush off before. I just piled it out there with that stuff. Yeah, this looks up. I didn't see any. But
yeah,
she's you know, when you get her age, you know, she's not driven in years, so she's 96. She's more or less homebound. We check on her every day, at multiple times a day. But she, you know, when you get that age, your world gets a whole lot smaller. You're in your home all day long, your home or your yard, and all your problems get bigger. So, we were over there emptying her refrigerator and freezer, and she was wanting to cook all of the rotten meat before we threw it away, because she was afraid some wild animal would eat it and get sick. And we told her, we're not. She'd already cooked some of it. And we're like, we're not doing that. We're throwing it away. And we filled the trash can out. This was Thursday. And they pick up garbage on Thursday. And they'd already picked hers up. So between last Thursday and tonight, that rotten meat's been in a trash can outside her house. And she's refused to open it and put anything else in it because she's afraid it's going to stink up the neighborhood.
I don't think you're going to care.
No, I drug it down to the street today. It did stink, but you couldn't smell it in her house. But she was going to cook all that meat. She had a full-size freezer, stand-up freezer, and a refrigerator full of frozen meat. And she was going to cook every bit of that before she threw it in the woods.
Yeah, that part of I-40 that collapsed, I drove on that several times going to so when we went to Williamsburg, we drove on I-40, and when we went to when Ed and I went to the Southeast Linux Fest, I rode with him, we drove on I-40 because we went via my dad's house. We stopped overnight at my dad's.
Yep.
So
that's how my sister gets down here. I mean, she's having to go, I think, 441 down through Georgia now, but she lives in Johnson City, and it's, you got to go through Asheville to get to here, but yeah, it's bad.
Did they ever share like how long it's going to be closed now?
No, but they shut down the entire Blue Ridge Parkway from North Carolina to Virginia. It's 496 miles. They shut it down.
Yeah,
and I think they said it'd be months. I mean, it'd be months, obviously, because I mean, I think, well, even in South Carolina, I mean, 178. North of Highway 11 that goes between my county and Brevard County and Rutherford County and, you know, into North Carolina, it's shut down. I mean, there's like 14 bridges out. There's, you know, because my county is half of it's in the mountains, there's those students aren't going to be in school the rest of the year, or at least this semester, I mean, through December, because they've got no way to get down the mountain. No internet, you know, they got no way to do online school either.
Yep. Yeah, I've been to Asheville, and that's
how do they do messed up online in school in your area, Dave? They just get a bunch of tin cans and string them together?
Oh, it takes
Is that
hamsters.
How it's done?
Yeah.
That's the line?
Hamsters are involved.
Hamsters?
Yeah.
The carrier pigeons?
Yeah.
Smoke signals?
My wife and I were in Chimney Rock in February, and it's gone now. There's Chimney Rock, the town, doesn't exist anymore. I mean,
really? How many people? Yeah. Like, how big was the town?
It's a tourist trap. I mean, it's they filmed part of Dirty Dancing there. Lake Lure. Yeah, no. Chimney Rock is this giant cliff mountain. You know, it's a.
The hurricane wiped it out.
Yeah, I mean, the flooding did. I forget what river runs through there, but it's just north of Spartanburg County, South Carolina. You cross the border and you're in Rutherford County, and that's where Chimney Rock is. And that town's gone. I mean, literally gone.
Yeah, I got to see if I didn't know this, but one of the barbecue places when I was in Asheville for work, I ate a barbecue place called Buxton Hall Barbecue. That was closed prior to this hurricane, but that same the same guys that owned that, they opened Buxton Chicken Palace. And they were still open. So I don't know if they're open now though. A lot of places are gonna be gone.
I was looking at some pictures from Chimney Rock.
Yeah, there's
a lot of devastation there.
Did your basement leak, Dan, from the hurricane?
I didn't get any. I don't think we got much rain here. We didn't get much of anything from Helene when it came through. Thank goodness. But no, my basement hasn't leaked in the past couple of weeks to any extent. You know, actually, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe we did. I'm trying to remember. No, I think it's point one.
So you had it, what, coming in through the foundation, right?
Yeah. So it kind of, there's two spots, well, three spots that it comes in. Both are like in the corner over here in the back. Now, I did notice what was a big exacerbator of it leaking was the gutter spout.
What kind of baiter?
Exacerbator.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, so on the sunroom's roof, the gutter spout was clogged, and it was causing the water to back up and then overflow over the in the corner over here, which is where I would see a lot of seepage into the basement. Once I cleared that out of that spout, it hasn't been as bad. Now, if it's a really heavy rain in a specific direction, there's a tendency that I will see water here, but not as bad as it used to be. Same thing in the other corner. The only problem is I can't easily clean that spout out. And I think it also has to do with I need to get an extension that fits on that. That used to be on there, but now it doesn't fit anymore. That will connect into the is it a spout? What's it called? What is that called?
The gutter?
Downspout?
The downspout. Yeah, I guess, yeah. Not the, like, I suspect that the gutter up there is maybe cluttered and dirty, and the spout somewhere along the way might be clogged to an extent. But where it comes out is almost exactly where I'm having the problem. Over here in the basement on one side. And then the other place is the basement door. It's the outside. If it rains and the wind's blowing in a certain direction, it will seep through the basement door area.
I think when those downspouts get clogged, the water gets caught in that horizontal gutter, which causes it to overflow and rot your fascia board, and it's coming in probably behind that. But
you mean on the inside of the walls?
Yeah, I would think, but no.
We don't have a problem anywhere but in the basement.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's not. So what I think is happening is somewhere it's overflowing and coming down in a specific spot and pooling in that specific spot, which makes it saturate and then seep through into the basement.
So you could probably put an extension on your downspout and move that water away from the
foundation. That's one of the things I'd say. There is an extension, but I can't fit it on there anymore.
Yeah.
I'll have to muck around with it. But
if you could redirect that to your outdoor shower.
Yeah, how about that? I used my outdoor shower the past 2 days. Because now with, as we're getting closer to the shorter days, when by the time I get up and get my bike ride or run in after my workout, it's still a little bit on the dark side. Like today when I used it, it was still completely dark out.
Did you invite your neighbor again?
No. I seem to be out there taking my shower before any of my neighbors comes out. Although I will say this, actually that's not true. Monday I was out there taking my shower, and then my neighbors from not the adjoining side but the other side, where it's the yards that meet, they had come out, both of them, and they got in their cars to go off to whatever they were doing. And I was sitting out there showering off. And I was like, yeah, I was about ready to get out. But then I decided I would wait in my little enclosure till they left.
Yeah.
That's a little weird, I guess. Maybe. Why should I be embarrassed?
Are you gonna? Well, can't you just, like, you know, get some fencing and build yourself a little enclosure?
I have an enclosure.
It's called a shower curtain.
Yeah.
No. It's actually.
It is clear.
It's a canvas enclosure. Yeah, it's no, it is enclosure. I was just like, you know, I don't want to come busting out of the enclosure, like, with just a towel wrap.
Butt place.
Like a naked man.
Walking into the back door, and they're like, what the hell?
Wave at the neighbors. Hey, how's it going? Drop the towel.
Yeah, it's,
with what?
Although, I will say this. The temperature, I'm trying to get used to the temperature change to get that sweet spot, because it is like
Joel
said.
Oh, that's why you didn't want to drop the towel, because it's getting cold.
it's a little chilly outside. But we're trying to find it, because I like a cooler shower, but because it's getting cooler outside, I was like, well, maybe I should. And I made it a little too hot on Monday, so it was a little
ice baths are supposed to be good for you, so
yeah. So
early morning, like cold shower.
I don't, you know what? I've been burned by I've been burned when I was in Brigantine, and that water there, that hurt. So I'm a little leery about cold, but I don't like cold. I like it, like, cool. Maybe lukewarm. Well, you know what, Dave? That little spray nozzle, man, that works. That's a good bidet alternative.
It gets you right in the sweet spot,
don't
it?
Yeah, you get that down there and clean yourself out.
Chocolate starfish.
Something that got missed. I'll tell you what, the grass where I'm taking a shower, the grass is really growing over there.
Stands for life. Chocolate starfish.
Hey, you know, I thought, you know, the bucket.
The bucket.
I thought, you know, if I really wanted to prolong my shower, the bucket, I could just stand over the bucket, and then the water could just, like, drip right back into the bucket, and then it would just get sucked back up again. It was just like this perpetual shower machine.
Yeah, it's progressively more and more gray water.
Yeah, and then if I want to warm it up, I just pee right in the bucket. Right?
All right, that's getting disturbing.
Oh my God, it's after 10 o'clock. But yeah, I would not do that. That sounds kind of gross. No, it doesn't sound kind of gross. It is gross, and I would not do that.
But... do you pee in the shower?
No, I don't. And liar. I'll tell you why I don't. Have I done it in the past? Of course I've done it in the past. But now I have a hair trap down there, and I don't want to have to clean out the hair trap after I peed in the shower. Okay, so it's not. It's more out of, like, I don't know. That's kind of gross to me.
Same reason you don't go diarrhea in the shower.
Yeah. Don't shit in the shower, because you then have to mash it down the drain, right, Dave?
That's disturbing.
All right. I think that's all for the show this week.
Dave's pushing the piece.
Yeah, we're out of tech stuff, and now we're talking about shit stomping.
Sorry.
What a shit show.
You're a bad influence, Dan.
Well, you asked about my shower. But I'm digging it, though. I enjoy it. It's nice. Even, like, now it's gotten a little too cold to go to the beach, but I can still enjoy the shower.
So. Yeah.
And the neighbors can, too, right?
Sure. Then every once in a while they'll see a full moon.
Well, now the Earth's got a little mini moon flying around it, and my neighbors have a little mini moon out in the backyard.
Yeah.
Alright, I'm gonna play this out. And any last word, we'll see you in a week.
Yep.
Good night, everybody.
Stay safe, everybody, and hopefully the hurricane won't be too bad. But here we go. Your promo.
I am short.
Oh my god. It's Hacker
Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Yeah. Damn, it's almost... Well, Halloween, but it's also almost Christmas. Holy mackerel. Where'd this year go?
I don't know, man.
Well, every year of your life is shorter.
Thanks, Joel. Making everybody depressed.
It's not a lie, but... Anywho... Guess what? Sarasota's where Milton. Yeah, I will say this. You gotta laugh about some disasters. And the one thing that at least with Milton was, daggone it, give Milton back his stapler and leave Florida alone. Those are some of the best memes. Milton and the hurricane and Milton from Office Space. Oh my god. I know it's not a funny thing, but God, it's still I laugh. I'll admit it.
Oh my goodness.
I know it.
Did you get a lot of sleep, Dave? Well, you have a lot of power. Is that all you could do?
No. I take naps every day when my grandson naps, but I had to keep him at my daughter's house, so I was having to get up, and my wife had to work a shelter in Greenville, and so I mean, I had to like take stuff to her some day. I mean, I was on one morning, I guess Sunday morning, she needed gas to get to Greenville for this shelter they were opening, and she didn't have any, so I had to get out. I figured, okay, I know they had gas the night before, and I wasn't going to wait in line for it. There was a Clemson game, and the gas station that had gas was like not in the track, in the Clemson traffic, but they would have gotten a lot of Clemson traffic. So I was hoping, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning, I could go to the gas station in Liberty and there'd be no waiting. Well, they didn't have any gas. Long story short, I was out Sunday morning from 3 o'clock to 7:30 looking for gas. Was able to finally get some.
Wow.
You spent more gas looking for the gas that you bought,
yeah.
Right?
Right?
Yeah.
Holy but moly.
That calmed down pretty quick because I think Sunday night is when I got the generator. And I had some gas in cans, so I was set for a couple of days. And I only ran it at night because I wasn't here during the day. And they canceled class where my youngest daughter goes to college. So she went with me to my oldest daughter's house to keep my grandson. So we kept the generator off during the day. But I didn't have to get any gas because I had like 21 gallons, and I was only using 2.5 gallons a night. So it was,
oh, my God. On X, there's, I was looking at what was trending on X, and apparently Lieutenant Dan is trending on X. All right. What this is, yes, it's from the Forrest Gump movie. You know,
yeah, yeah.
You'll never sink this boat. Well, apparently there's some guy down in Tampa that won't leave his boat.
Yep, I saw that guy.
And they're calling, and X is calling him Lieutenant Dan.
Yeah, he's like a 21-foot sailboat. I mean, that's,
yeah,
that's not going to survive the storm.
No, no.
I guess he's not going to survive the storm either.
No, it's like,
oh,
that.
Never. sink this boat.
Well, it's like that. The guy's name was Harry Truman, I think. The guy that refused to leave Mount St. Helens. Yeah. That didn't work out well.
Aren't you supposed to be without power?
No, I've had power for a little while now.
Oh. No, that's good. Wait, did you respond to my email?
I thought I did. But I was without power for 6 days.
I just did not read it.
But that's understandable.
I was like, screw Dave. I don't care what he responds.
I did my part.
you know what? I got busy at work, and I didn't check my email after that. This thing called work, Dave. I don't know if you remember it.
Barely.
There you go.
I didn't consider testing suppositories to be work, so.
I like your response. We were only without power for 6 days. Like,
there's
6 days.
My sister-in-law was without power for 9 days, and I know people that still don't have power, so.
I know, still. I mean, 3 days is a lot. Six days is people still with. Oh. Crazy.
That was from the last storm, and now another one's rolling through.
This is gonna stay south of us, but yeah, it's not gonna
bother Dave.
Dave's all, it's not my problem.
Now, I mean, I know someone that was in Orlando for the week. They got down there Saturday and had to turn around and come home Monday, you know, because of the storm. But they were down there for vacation. But
my parents and my grandma and my aunts and uncles and my sister, my nephew and my sister's husband, they're all North Florida, so hopefully they won't have a problem.
Oh, they'll be affected if nothing else from traffic and people making runs on the goods and the gas and the food and all that.
Well, they're saying they're not going anywhere, so. And my dad won't leave unless his mom does. And she's a stubborn old lady, and she's just not going to do it.
Yep.
Our adopted daughter, Helena, has an aunt whose house was destroyed in Helene and is living in a trailer in the path of Milton right now.
Yeah.
They got nowhere to go. They're like, what are we going to do?
My godson and his parents are all in Orlando, but what I understand, they're safe. And my brother was supposed to be moving out that way, but he says he's safe as well. All his stuff is packed and he's ready to go.
Rich said he's going to be okay.
Who?
Rich.
Haven't heard of him.
Yeah. Oh, man. I'll tell you what. I am crossing my fingers and knocking on wood every day that we don't get hit by anything. I will never move to Florida, man. It's just, I don't want to deal with that. In fact, I'm trying to get us out of here before we have to deal with a hurricane or a nasty tropical storm. Go to South Carolina, where all you have to deal with is hurricanes and tropical storms, right there.
So you could just, go and pose on Allen and be a few miles north of me.
There you go.
Now, this happened in the 80s, but it came in, it was Hurricane Hugo, and it came in on the South Carolina coast on the Atlantic side, and it was still a hurricane when the time I got to Charlotte. But as the crow flies, a card ride, that's 5 hours, 4 hours, maybe four.
Right.
And a car ride from here to where it came into Florida is every bit of nine. So, I mean, this storm was moving fast, but it stayed strong a whole lot longer than Hugo did. Yeah. Hugo set records for, lowest barometric pressure and all this stuff. But we've had them come up here before, but not like this. But we were lucky. I mean, It could have been a lot worse if it was moving any slower. Because it flew through. But I don't know how it could have been any worse in some places in North Carolina.
I'm going to be closer to your neck of the woods in 2 days, Dave.
Thanks for the warning.
I'll still be like 8 hours away or something, right?
He'll still lock all his doors.
Yeah.
I'll be in Newberry.
Okay.
He'll get a couple of new Rottweilers and put them out in the yard.
I'll tell my wife to steer clear of there. she travels to Columbia once or twice a week now, and
okay.
to work. So she goes by there.
But how long is that trip?
2.5 hours, 2 hours, something like that. Yeah, Newberry's not 8 hours away from me.
Yeah, no, it's far enough away to be an inconvenience, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's not like a 40-minute drive between Chester and Charlotte.
But it's close enough for, you know, I appreciate the warning.
Okay. You know what episode this is, Dave?
I'm going to guess 1072, but I could be wrong.
It's the episode where Joel talks about his CPAP machine his improvements with hiking, I bet.
Yeah.
Those two things.
And how much weight he's lost.
Yes.
Which, still very proud of him for it.
Bravo to him, man. That is really good.
It's impressive.
Dave's fine in that way, right, Dave? No.
Nah, I'm staying steady.
All right. It's showtime. Did you ever read Treasure Island?
Yeah. Several times.
Everybody?
Actually, I had not read Treasure Island until about a decade ago.
That's like a rite of passage for American males. I mean, you should read that as a boy.
Treasure Island, Swiss Family Robinson, all the classics.
I never read Swiss Family Robinson, which is weird, because like I've read a ton of other stuff, but Treasure Island, I was surprised I had never.
It's good, ain't it?
It was good. I liked it.
What brought that up, Dan?
Because I have a copy of it right here next to me.
Okay.
I got it at the at Goodwill a couple months ago. I was like, I don't know why I bought a copy. It was like the 50 cents or something.
First time I read it was the condensed version. I mean, they made the condensed version for kids, so it was a much smaller book. So I read it when I was pretty young, but then I reread the full version in, I think it was middle school.
I think you can get the audio version, get an audio version at Project Gutenberg, probably.
Well, archive.org has a copy as well, if I remember right, but they have a lot of the classics, like Alice in Wonderland, and I think bunch of the Wizard of Oz, like all of the Wizard of Oz books.
They've lost a couple of lawsuits in the last couple of years, too.
That's true. But no, there was a project going on with LibriVox.
Yeah.
And LibriVox uses their back end is archive.org. And so any books that were out of copyright, they would have volunteers do readings for and then post it. And that's awesome.
Yeah, I've listened to some of those.
They're not professionals, but they ain't bad.
Yeah. At least it ain't me reading it.
Yeah. Sorry, we screwed up your opening there.
Who, what? Me? What? I didn't open it yet. I was just saying. You know, when I was in middle school, the only book I remember reading, that I can recall that we were assigned, I mean, there was a bunch of stories and stuff like that, but Bless the Beasts and the Children.
You didn't read White Fang?
Yeah, White Fang's good. Call of the Wild, none of that.
Yeah.
Interestingly they're practically enough, the same I did book. Not read Call of the Wild until about a decade ago when I read Treasure Island. Did I read White Fang?
That was one of those required books.
I think I read White Fang because I think I had picked up a copy of whatever book I had both Call of the Wild and White Fang in it.
Well, there's a couple of others that were written a little bit later along the same line. But, well, more coming of age, but what was it? My Side of the Mountain was really good. At least when I read it, it was, you know.
You ever read Occurrence at Owl Creek Bridge? It was a short story by Ambrose Bierce.
Ambrose Bierce is kind of lumped in as one of the earliest. I guess you. No, I don't know if I would say so much as one of the originators towards the Cthulhu mythos, but is celebrated as
I did that not
story
know that.
In particular was very influential to H.P. Lovecraft. Yeah.
I did not know that. I remember reading it in high school and loving it. I thought it was just so, for the time period it was written, I thought this guy was ahead of the curve. It was just like a Twilight Zone episode.
Right, right. And I think I read it in middle school then, because that's one of the stories that I have remembered that story since
when I
read it. I loved it. I'm trying to think if I've read any. I think I've read some other Ambrose Bierce stuff. What else is
I know a couple of classics I couldn't make it through, and that was Three Musketeers and A Tale of Two Cities.
Tale of Two Cities is worth the slug, I guess. If the last 20% of that book make it a classic, the first 80% is just such a chore to read.
Yeah, I couldn't make it to that last 20%. Bye. We're talking classic literature over here.
Hold on. Ah, damn it. One second. Who wrote? Oh, yeah, Devil's Dictionary. That is Ambrose Bierce.
Okay.
Yeah, I read that at the recommendation of a English professor in college.
I need to go back and read some Lovecraft.
You know, there's this one H.P. Lovecraft story that I can never, remember the title of it. And when I look through, all his short stories and stuff like that, it never rings out to me as to exactly what it was, but it was about, it took place, it was like a dream sequence where this guy is on this ship and he's going through this, these different lands, and it was just, I always loved it. I mean, I loved a lot of H.P. Lovecraft stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you knew this, if you like H.P. Lovecraft stories, there's a book out there, a collection, I think it's still in print. But Robert E. Howard wrote a lot of H.P.
Yes.
Or a lot of Cthulhu stories. So, one of my favorite novellas of his, or I think it's a novella, Pigeons from Hell. I love that. I don't know if you ever read that.
I didn't.
That is good. I really like that. Pigeons from Hell. But yeah, Lovecraft, man. Woo, yeah. You know, I've been frequenting Barnes & Noble, and I will have to say, I don't see a lot of H.P. Lovecraft or Robert E. Howard in Barnes & Noble anymore, which is weird, unless it's being sold out by the time I get there. But nonetheless, wait, what episode is this, Dave?
1072?
No, it's 1071.
Okay. I thought I missed one, 'cause I was adding to my... what I thought it was.
Wait, let me double check. Yeah, it's 1071. Did I screw up the number? No, I couldn't have. No, it's 1071. You only missed one episode.
Seems like I missed more than that.
You only missed one episode of CPAP Weekly. All
right. We want to bet on what he had for dinner?
No.
I was thinking about that the other day. Why don't we do that anymore?
Okay. Well, what do you think?
Do you think he cooked or do you think he ordered something?
It's Wednesday.
Doing church? Is he doing church stuff again?
Him being on a diet.
No, if he's running late, that means that he was doing church stuff,
which
means he picked something up on the way home. So I'm going to go with McDonald's.
Taco Bell, but I don't know what he would order there, but I'm saying Taco Bell.
First off, Dave, I think you need to step back a minute, okay? When was the last time Joel ordered Taco Bell?
I don't know.
Yeah, I would say the same thing. But I guess we could go with that. And if he did, I would say if he did, he probably got one of those the newer things, the Cheese Whiz with the Cheez-Its in it.
Okay.
Crunch Wrap Supreme with the Cheez-It in it, maybe, or the... Well, what are you... You saying he went to McDonald's. What is he going to get at McDonald's?
Burger and fries.
Really? You think so?
I think so.
Man, this is a tough one. Because I'm trying to remember what he was telling us he ate the past couple of weeks.
Either that or he went to Chick-fil-A.
Has he ever gone to Chick-fil-A? I never heard him mention Chick-fil-A.
Me either.
I would say McDonald's over Chick-fil-A because I don't know if there's a Chick-fil-A between his church and home. Oh.
Chipotle?
We've been talking pizza lately. And sometime in the last month we talked pizza.
Yeah, but if he's picking up for himself, then he's not going to go get a pizza.
You know, I was just, before you said, I was just thinking Chipotle, Joe, but I don't. I feel like Chipotle's too much work.
Chipotle is a bit of work, but.
You have to go in and it's like.
They have a drive-thru.
As you go. They have a drive-thru?
They have a drive-thru. But you have to tell them everything you want.
I have never seen a Chipotle with a drive-thru.
I'll take a picture.
I'm not doubting you, which I guess because they just opened up a oh crap, what's the name of that place? The bread place with the bread bowls.
Panera.
Yeah, Panera. They just opened a Panera with a drive-thru. And again, interestingly enough, Dave, the first time I don't think I've ever been in a Panera before this past Friday, because my daughter's show choir had one of their fundraisers where you go in and you order food there and you get like 20% of the cut or something like that. And it wasn't bad, but it's not a place that I would go back to.
Now, what is a show choir? I mean, it should be self-explanatory, but you didn't say a cappella group, so it's different than that, right?
Do you remember Glee?
Yeah.
That's what show choir is.
They're a cappella, though, right? No, I'm thinking of Pitch Perfect. I never saw Glee.
Yeah.
So show choir, they accompany by music, soundtracks, or whatever.
So show choir is essentially, there's just the singing and the dancing.
Okay.
And it's like a performance. It's like a dance routine with singing involved.
It's like Sister Act.
Okay. Man, now you're going back. Holy crap. A Sister Act.
You were big into that in high school, weren't you, Dan?
Sister Act?
No, but show choir.
Dave, I did not do show choir. I was playing my boner all the time. I wasn't in the choir. I was
in the band.
I was in the band. I whipped out my bone, Dave, and I said, pull on this while I blew it.
I whipped out an oboe a couple of times.
That's a manly instrument, right? I'm sorry, Dave. That
that's
right.
That's the bedpost of the orchestra. What are you talking about?
Is that what they use it for when you go to bed? You put them on.
Oh man!
Wait a minute. Hold on. We gotta start this up. Yeah. Now, is it the oboe? Is the instrument that you play when you can't play clarinet, or is the clarinet the instrument when you play when you can't play oboe?
Oboe's what you graduate to if you can play clarinet.
Yeah. I think my daughter was playing that for a little bit. Huh?
Yeah, I played clarinet and oboe. I could play a little bit of saxophone. Well, I could play saxophone. I could play a little bit of trumpet, but I could play saxophone too. Then.
Jackie played the bassoon.
Okay.
There you go. What did you play, Joe?
Oh, I spent a couple of years trying to play the tenor sax, but I sucked.
So you took up pinball machine.
Is that Milton a reference to
made
something?
Landfall? Nah.
What about Milton making Landfall?
Made Landfall a few minutes ago.
Yeah, it's supposed to be tonight.
It's been downgraded to Category 3, right? Which still is massive.
I hadn't heard that.
That's what I heard, that they did downgrade it to a Category 3. You know, let me ask you a question. This is nothing to do with Milton. Do you remember back in English class, particularly in elementary school, the English, not English, music class, the music textbook was just every single music textbook that I had in elementary was just this pornographic graffitiized nightmare. I mean, some of the instruments were very phallic in there, and the people who checked out those books were more than willing to point that out on repeated occasions, along with off the wall hilarious, but just so inappropriate what they did to those books.
Are you talking elementary school?
This was back in elementary school, yeah.
The only thing I remember about music class in elementary school is there was one music teacher, and she came to every classroom. So it was, you didn't go to music class, it came to you, and it was more or less just the classroom singing or maybe beating pieces of wood together or recorders. That was it. And I don't remember a textbook, though.
But Dave, that's understandable when you're in a one-room schoolhouse. Right? Now, we actually had a music classroom, though. Joe, did you have a music classroom, or did the music teacher come to your classroom?
No, we had a music room.
Huh. Look at that. See? I don't know what's going on there, Dave. Was art the same way?
No, we went to art class.
Even in small town Iowa, we had a music room.
I went to a big elementary school. I mean, there were only like four elementary schools in the whole county, and mine was the biggest. And it was just a sea of kids.
All right, let's get the show started. This is 1071.